Philip, somewhere out there in space on Jupiter, there is and there was a black spot that a lot of astronomers were saying, where in the heck did this thing come from? Were you asking yourself that question?
Yeah, I heard about it right after the pictures came out, and I should say I'm surprised you're not playing the Sting song, There's a Little Black Spot on the Sun Today. That would have been doubly appropriate, a double pun. What do you know about that?
The hour in the day is not over.
I see. Oh, I'm giving away your stuff now.
You never know.
Yeah, this is really cool. I have some links to this on my my Coast to Coast page on my website at badastronomy.com. And there's a picture of Jupiter on the Coast to Coast AM website that show this black spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty neat. It popped up in October, just a month ago or so, and it's this really dark spot, and it was taken by an amateur astronomer with some really nice equipment. And
it's huge, isn't it? That's a big spot.
Well, as spots go, it's about average. I mean, when I think huge, I think the Great Red Spot, which is enormous,
yeah,
you know, several tens of thousands of miles across. This one's average. It's about the size of the Earth, you know. It's but there's a recent picture that just came out last week, taken by the Cassini probe, which is on its way to Saturn, and it swung by Jupiter on its way to Saturn and took this devastating picture of Jupiter. It's just gorgeous. You can find it on space.com and Universe Today and all these different websites, and you can see what Jupiter looks like up close. It is covered with these whorls and festoons and spurs and all these different things, these different spots, and they're all different colors. But this one popped up, and it's black. And when you see something like that, usually it's the shadow of a moon. As one of the four big moons orbits Jupiter, it can cast a shadow on the planet, and you can see that. I've seen them myself through a small telescope. It doesn't take very big equipment to see them. And that's what people thought this might have been at first, but then they realized that there was no moon in the right spot to be casting a shadow where this thing was. Now, the question is, what is it? I went on the web, and I'll tell you what I found in a moment. A common guest on your show is Richard Hoagland.
Yes.
It won't surprise anybody to know that he and I probably don't see eye to eye on very much when it comes to astronomy. I will say that he has one of the best and most detailed moon hoax debunkings on his website that I've seen. He goes into great detail about some of the evidence brought up by moon hoax people.
So you agree with him on that?
And yeah, he did a great job. Of course, the reason he did it is because he's defending the fact that astronauts went there, because he says that astronauts saw evidence of alien artifacts on the moon, which is something I would disagree with him on. But I don't want to get into that right now. But
we will later.
Okay, that's great. But what he was saying on the show, and I listened to a little bit of it last week, was that this black spot appeared about a month after the NASA Galileo probe, actually the spacecraft, dropped into Jupiter. Now, this probe was sent to Jupiter many years ago, and it orbited Jupiter for several years, took a lot of amazing data of the planet, and then NASA decided that there is a small, very small, but finite chance that it might smack into Europa.
And contaminate it.
And contaminate it. Now, I think the odds of that are pretty low, but really Galileo was at the end of its controllable life. It was running out of fuel, and there wasn't much they could do with it except let it just run around the system. And they figured, you know what, well, we've got a little bit of fuel left, and it's the end of the mission. Let's just drop it into Jupiter and be rid of it. And I thought,
and 48 pounds of plutonium on it, right?
Something like that, yeah. And so their decision to do this, I don't know if I agree with it or not. I can kind of understand it. I'm not in on those decisions, so I'm sure the reasons were good. But the probe itself, and thank you for keeping me on track because I tend to ramble, the probe itself was powered by what are called, if I get this right, radioisotope thermal generators. There's plutonium on board that is radioactive, and it generates heat, and this heat is used to create electricity because Jupiter is far enough from the sun that solar panels don't work very well. Well, it had about 50 pounds of plutonium on board, and some people theorized, grossly incorrectly, that this plutonium could create a fission bomb, an atomic bomb on Jupiter, and that this might actually make Jupiter fuse hydrogen into helium, which is what powers stars. And it would turn Jupiter into a star. Now, I have a detailed web page going point by point over why this is wrong. The plutonium on board could not possibly create a bomb because it was spread out over two different what are called booms, these long extended metal rods. And as Galileo entered the atmosphere of Jupiter at 100,000 miles an hour, okay, the pressure and heat as it passed through the atmosphere would rip it apart. And so far from actually compressing this plutonium and making it go to what's called critical mass, the mass you need to explode as a fission bomb, it would actually disperse the plutonium. And so you would not get a bomb out of this.
Well, we thought it would at least, right?
Well, no, I don't believe it did explode. As a matter of fact, I think the claim that it might have exploded is fairly silly, and for the reasons I go over on my website. The plutonium would be dispersed throughout Jupiter's atmosphere, and it wouldn't possibly fission. Even if it did fission, and even if you did, say, pack an atomic bomb on board Galileo, it wouldn't be able to create fusion in Jupiter because you need very specific elements. You need lithium and deuterium, these certain isotopes of hydrogen and different types of lithium, to create a fusion bomb. And Jupiter just doesn't have those kind of things in that kind of quantity. And then even if you could create a fusion explosion, you pack a hydrogen bomb on board Galileo, let's say, it would only be a local hotspot. Jupiter itself would not be able to maintain this reaction because inside of the core of a star, you need the temperature and pressure of the core of something the size of the sun to create fusion, or you know, something roughly the size of the sun.
Well, it is ironic, though, that the black spot is near their Jupiter's equator, in pretty close to where the Galileo probe plunged.
But it isn't. So that's the first thing I thought of. I thought, well, I had not heard anybody actually equating this black spot with where the probe went in. The first thing I thought of when I heard Richard Hoagland talk about it was, well, let's find out. Where is the black spot and where did the probe go in? Well, on my webpage, which is linked from your page, I have a link to what's called the Galileo End of Mission document, which describes, many months ago, NASA wrote this, describing what was going to happen as Galileo went into Jupiter. And they dropped it basically into the equator of Jupiter. This makes sense because the moon's orbit in the same sort of plane as the equator of Jupiter. And if you just use a minimum amount of fuel to drop it into Jupiter, it's going to go in near the equator. And it actually was within a degree of the equator.
Right.
Well, the black spot is 28 degrees south of the equator. And my back-of-the-envelope calculation says that that is 20,000 miles, okay? That is basically three times the diameter of the Earth away from where Galileo went in.